Get this going. Okay, I'm recording now. And I'll start this. Okay, if we're all set, we'll give this a go here.
And I'm recording on my side too, so.
Okay, so that's good. So we both got it here one way or another. Okay. All right, here. We'll give this a go. Three. Well, welcome back to our next edition of Hello World with Mike Guerra. As always, probably broadcasting from Macaulay, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And with me today is a great singer, songwriter, musician, performer, Sheldon Holder from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And Sheldon, it's a pleasure and honor you could join me today and talk about your great music. And first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and where your love and passion for music comes from?
Oh, well, I'm from Canada. I was born in Canada, but I grew up in the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago, to be exact. And I guess my love for music, you know, I've always loved music since I'm like a very little kid. Before I even knew the words to songs, I was, you know, I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to play the drums. I wanted to play the guitar. My father played instruments, not seriously, but my father did play instruments. And I guess there's also that was the part of him that I admired most. You know, my father was an engineer, electrical engineer, but I really did have this romantic idea that my father, you know, of my father as a musician. My father played in small bands as a young man and stuff like that. And, you know, I wanted to follow suit, and my mother was musical, my sister is musical, so, you know, there's always music around, Caribbean music. Growing up in Canada, spending my formative, like, early years, not necessarily my formative, but my early years. I lived in Canada until I was 7 years old, and I grew up listening to a lot of American rock, a lot of country.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's like a hybrid of music types floating around in my brain. You know, I grew up having West Indian parties in my basement. So there's a lot of calypso and soca music as well. It's also kind of part of my musical education. So those are the cliff notes of my interest, how my interest in music came about.
Oh, great. And as we mentioned that, you know, you're a songwriter. And so, I mean, have you been writing songs for a while then?
Yeah, I've been writing songs before I knew they were songs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, as a child, I was very, very attracted to like rhythm and stuff like that. You know, like simple things like the sound of the washing machine would become... You know, like the washing machine was a musical instrument for me.
Yeah.
I hug the washing machine and make rhythms, like play a drum beat while the washing machine is washing and hum and make guttural noises and, you know, make music. You know, when I became a teenager, I would write songs, but I would think that they were like mushy or not good enough or, you know, but I always attempted to like write poetry and write songs as a high schooler, secondary schooler. And then when I graduated from high school, I was living in the Caribbean and I was unemployed for a long time. But I was, all of my friends, we kind of discovered the guitar, you know. And yeah, I always had guitars in my house, but you know, when your peers are doing it, you know, gravitate towards, you know, doing what your friends are doing. And all my friends were learning to play instruments and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of my friends were being, you know, turning into like DJs and different things like that, all like creative musical painters, you know, all these different things. And I gravitated towards music because I always had a knack for it. I could always imitate the songs on the radio, vocally imitate Michael Jackson or whatever. Like I was like always that kind of guy who was always singing and entertaining my friends, I guess, in school and stuff. And so yeah, that's like the origin of me getting into music, wanting to be a vocalist, wanting to be a songwriter. I would say like I started to get really serious around 17.
Oh, okay.
By the time I was 18 and 19, somewhere around there, I was getting hired to write stuff.
Oh.
To like write music for ads and different things like that, you know, to go in studio. I was fortunate.
Oh, great. You know? So for you that you write things, you know, you mentioned for ads, and I mean, is that something you still do or?
I did something not recently, no. Like maybe within the last 3 or 4 years, one of my songs was selected for it's hard for me to remember what it is now. It feels right. Like it's so long ago, but it was like it's a song I have called Imagination. It was selected for like an international youth forum.
Right.
Meant to inspire youth from all different parts of South America to engage with technology. And I did like a remix of the song. That's the last thing that I did ad-wise. That was for this company called Ogilvy & Mather. The song was selected and they asked me to do the song as an ad, but I've since departed from doing ads and that kind of thing, and more just making the music that I like and performing the music that I like. You know, I love to perform. Well, you know, the pandemic's not so good for that, but that's where everything is settled for me.
Right.
I love to perform. I love to entertain.
Great.
And I love to do my own songs.
So you prefer then your own songs, and you don't do a lot of covers then, huh?
No. And like, you know, even if I do a cover, like I do this cover this song by Mazi Star, Fade Into You.
Right.
You know, I do it in my own way, you know?
Right.
Like even if I really, really like a song and I feel like I want to cover it, I still try to make it, to do justice to the song, you know, not just to try to replicate it, you know? But I would say safely, like 96% of my repertoire is original music.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, that's good there. So you mentioned, Sheldon, about, you know, that you write all of these songs. So, I mean, for you, when you're writing the songs, do you just try to envision, like, the melody and the words, or do you tend to envision all the instruments that you play, different instruments, or?
I wouldn't say I'm not much, I mean, I play instruments, but I'm not really, like, an instrument dude.
Right.
I'm more like a melody guy.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, when I'm sleeping, I'll hear a melody. I'm sleeping, I might hear a bass line.
Right.
A lot of times I hear a bass line, I hear a drum beat. And, or if I am playing my guitar, I might play a chord, and the chord will resonate in a certain way with me. Because I feel like music has, obviously music resonates, but you know, like music not only resonates, like it seems to have enough impact on the atmosphere in a room.
Right.
Qualities of music seem to resonate in a way that there's a quality that dissolves the barriers between you and me and makes us feel like we're together. And when I hear music or songs or chords that I feel will be useful in encouraging that process, be it a lyric, sometimes it will be a lyric first, sometimes it'll be a bass line, sometimes it might be a drum beat, something that enters into my world while I'm asleep. You know, like I said, like when I was a kid, the sound of the washing machine, when I hear when I hear that resonance, that I believe that would help that process of making music and bringing us together, then I'm tempted to shift things into music. You know, the way that I make music, I guess I want to believe that it's unique to me, because it's not always a clearly musical process.
Right.
As say for someone who is a composer, who's classically trained, or, you know, went to school to learn music. I never really went to school to learn music, but I was just always like oddly musical. So a lot of times I write the songs, I hear the horn lines.
Yeah.
I hear bits of songs, but you know, the people who really make my music come alive are the musicians in my band. Mm-hmm. And I'm fortunate to play with a lot of really good musicians. Over the years, I've played with some of the best musicians. And I write the songs, yes, I do. I create the foundation of the song, verse, chorus, you know, bridge, that kind of thing. And then I bring it to the band that I'm working with, and we just play it until it's right, you know. I know when it's wrong.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
I know when it's wrong. I know when it's wrong. I'm clear when it's wrong.
Right.
And you know, I just work with musicians until it becomes something that I can feel like I can represent as a front man, as a lead singer, you know?
Yeah, okay, Sheldon. So we want to talk about some of the nice songs our audience will be listening to. And first of all, we have Retribution. Can you tell us about this song? Retribution.
Oh, the lyric is, it's we who build the city, but they planted a seed and they sowed a lie, and they prune the tree with their foolish pride. And those who fight against the system, I'm damn well sure they paid the price. I'm damn well sure they get skinned alive. There's got to be some retribution, you know. It's a revolution song, you know. As Bob Marley says, you know, I don't know if he's the originator of the phrase, but he says it takes a revolution to cause a solution, and that's what it's about. It's about the working people who, especially in this age of in this digital age, where the work of human beings is being reduced in value.
Right.
The work of musicians is being reduced in value.
Yeah.
Everything is becoming digitalized and run by algorithms and clicks.
Yeah.
You know, everyone can make music from their laptop, which is great in a certain way, but in other ways it devalues the workmanship of people who can really play instruments, because right. Music has fallen into the hands of sometimes people who don't even have the right spirit for producing music, you know. And it's, you know, Spotify, it can be on Spotify, and if it gets enough clicks, it becomes a hit. Retribution for all these things, you know, that there's a I guess a system, we could call it a predatory capitalism, that seeks to commodify everything. Retribution is speaking out against that system. That's what the song is about.
Okay, all right.
It's about crime waves of revolution.
Right.
In the third world, people are the poor in general are criminalized.
Yeah.
But it's been my observation that it's a system that causes the crime.
Right.
System that divides rich from poor, that decides that some people will prosper and others will suffer, or if I don't have the educational background, then I'm denied the access. Right. That's what retribution is about.
Okay. Now another song we have here is "Lady of the Night." Can you tell us about this song?
Well, "Lady of the Night." Obviously, it's about a whore, you know?
Right.
And I say in the song, I say, I smell your perfume. And really, that's a metaphor for this woman who, under conservative circumstances, is an outcast from society because what she's chosen as a profession. But she serves us all, and she embodies us all. And I say, I smell your perfume. It means I smell your essence. I smell the beauty in you. And it could have never been right for you to make your money the way that you do. Is a line in the song, but it's not really a condemnation of her choices. It's more that an observation that at some point in time, we all find ourselves making compromises that we don't like with our bodies.
Right.
Doing things that maybe ordinarily, if we were given a chance, we may not have made those choices, but we have to prostitute ourselves in this world to be able to survive. And so Lady of the Night is really a salute to women who struggle.
Okay. Yeah. And another song we have here is Smile. Can you tell us about this one?
Oh, well, Smile. It's a love song. Really?
Okay.
I was gonna say that song is a song about midlife crisis, I guess. But you know, that's a longer story. And I leave it at the Smile is about the women that I've been fortunate to be intimate with, and it's a song about transition and love. When you wake up in the morning and the sun shines through your window, I look at your face and I smile. From the first time you see me, your face explodes with a glow and you smile. So kiss me in the morning, caress me in the afternoon, and quench me in the evening time. So broad and beautiful is your smile. When I'm caught up in the haze of life, I lay amazed in a glaze of light. I'm in awe and I gaze when you smile. When lines blur and there's no right from wrong, I can say, man, woman, be strong. We can face the day with a smile. So smile for me. You know, it's a love song.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So those are three songs there. So, I mean, are these on a particular album you have or coming out or?
Yeah, I'm doing a re-release of songs I've written in the past and that are part of my back catalog.
Right.
And I'm also going to be putting out new songs that I've written as well in a compilation that COVID has interrupted. I was in the studio and I laid down all the instruments, all the tracks. All I had to do was go back in and do my vocals.
Right.
And launch the project with all the pictures and all the everythings. So, I'll keep you posted, Mike, and let you know when we get back on track with the project. It's kind of contingent upon things returning to normal for me to do all the promo and the release and everything. But yeah, it's coming soon.
Oh yeah, well, I'll look forward to that. So for you, do you have a chance to perform in a lot of different places or?
Well, I perform in one place in Toronto right now.
Okay.
It's a beautiful spot. It's called the Poetry Jazz Club.
Oh.
And I've been performing there for what must be, would have been probably almost 2 years.
Uh-oh.
Not exclusively at first, but then it started to feel like a place that I could call home because, well, the owner, Sean Pascal, he is a Trinidadian. He's from my country.
Oh.
So we have that connection. And also, I don't know, call it superstitious, but the place has a vibe. And
okay.
People from all over the world come to that club because the club has a reputation as being one of the best places in the city for live music. So it's part tourist attraction and part like home base for players and patrons alike. So I've been playing there and really enjoying playing there. But, you know, COVID has gotten in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the first time in my life that I've spent... This has never happened. Like, the only time in my life that I have not played live was when I wasn't playing live because I wasn't like a professional musician as yet.
Right.
But since I've been playing music as a form of employment, as a passion, I've never not played.
Oh.
Certainly not this long.
Oh, yeah.
And I enjoy playing live so much that it's an anticlimax, I feel, for me to do some web performance.
Oh, yeah, we're going to ask you about that next. If you do any of those web performances. Yeah.
No, I have no disrespect to anyone who does it, you know, because everybody's got to find their course, you know.
Right.
But for me, it just doesn't do it for me.
Oh,
I guess okay. I guess I need the physical audience.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm spoiled in that way.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So I mean, right now, are you performing at that place that you mentioned, or?
No, it's not. No, that Toronto is in a complete lockdown. There's no. There's for the whole. The last performance that I did was March the 6th last year.
Oh, wow.
I haven't been in the same place with my band since then.
Oh, okay.
My band hasn't done a rehearsal, nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Sheldon. So if you could tell us a little bit, now do you have a website then and social media and all that? Or?
Well, I'm Sheldon Holder on Facebook. Sheldon Holder, SheldonHolderMusic@gmail.com is my email address. I'm Sheldon Holder TO on Twitter. And in terms of like, you know, I'm Saga Warrior on SagaWarrior on Instagram.
Right.
But in terms of actually the social media thing, to be honest with you, I've avoided it.
Right. Okay.
And I know that it's the way of the world.
Yeah.
But in some ways, I've been resistant to making that change, and so. That might make me a young dinosaur.
Okay.
But I feel honestly that the value of music is being cheapened.
Yeah, right.
In the age of the internet. In this age of access, the access is so easy that the product has lost its value.
Right.
And so I've stayed away. The new music that I'm putting out, I've kind of succumbed to the system of doing things, and I'm basically going to give it away by putting it on Spotify and all the other streaming platforms, but over the time I've been resistant. And just to give you a little historical background on my music and my band, I've always resisted mainstream forms of access to the public musically.
Yeah.
So I had a band in the Caribbean. The band was called 12 The Band. And the band was well known in Trinidad and was achieving some notoriety internationally, but our music wasn't played on the radio. It wasn't because we were a radio band. It was because of the momentum of people. hearing about the band, hearing about the phenomenon of the music, and coming to see the band. And so in my incarnation of the music that I do in Toronto, the philosophy has also been the same. To play. So I make a lot of music that was never recorded. It was all live. Oh, wow. I'm very much a live performer. That's where I get my energy from, being able to entertain an audience. I love to entertain an audience. And they say self-praise is no recommendation, but I can say confidently that I'm a very good live performer. Oh. Very, very good.
Oh, okay.
And that's my forte, and that's what I've been in Toronto. I've been living in Toronto for this year will be 10 years that I've been living here. I've been living here for a decade, and I've been building my reputation as a musician in the city by live shows. I'm building a following. You have to come and see the band.
Okay.
You have to come and see the band.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. So.
Well, and it's been working.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's,
you know, people find me, just like you found me. People find me. And so it's not published for like mass media, but right. In terms of, if you want to call it a cottage industry of music, where I'm intimately engaged, the people who know my music, right. They find me.
Right, yeah.
And so that's how I've been doing it. And I've been chided and chastised for not being on Spotify. And at the moment that I decided to give in and just record the music and put it out, and I got the backing and support of investors and whatnot to be able to release it and do it justice. Oh. When I had to do the final sessions to do the vocals, that's when COVID hit.
Oh, okay. So
the studio that I was doing the work at, the studio closed down.
Oh, okay.
Because it wasn't able to survive the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
So this is where I'm at right now.
Oh, okay.
I wish I could tell you, another story, but this is just what it is. It is what it is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right there. So you mentioned that. So I mean, the album then has to still be completed further. Then is that it, or
yeah,
you still
just
have to get it going there.
Still have to do my vocals and then start mixing and all of that.
Oh, okay.
But we need to all be able to be in the same place without doing harm to one another.
Right. Okay, Sheldon, yeah. So we really appreciate your time, and yeah, we'll be looking out for the album. So you have any goals, or you'll just have to see because of the way things are when you could get that out there, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's like nobody planned for this. You know.
Right. Yeah. Oh. Okay. So you mentioned that if somebody would like, now, do you have any physical CDs that yet or not really, then anything anybody could purchase and help support you, or
no not yet, right? I want to put a new face and a new form of marketing and everything, right. on what I'm doing. And right now I'm just building up, hoping that things get back to normal so that I can put the music out.
Oh, okay. So, we will definitely look, when that music does come out, and hopefully people can see you perform live when this venue opens up then, hopefully soon.
Yeah. And I can always come back and you can be a part of the whole thing.
That would be great. Okay, Sheldon, we really appreciate your time. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention here?
Oh, I just want to say, people of the world, my name is Sheldon Holder. And I'm very happy to be alive in this time. And I'm very appreciative of this opportunity to share a little snippet of my life and my music with you. And Mike, thank you for having me. And stay tuned. You're going to hear from me in the future.
Okay, that's... Sounds great there. And again, if people want to maybe get a hold of you, or you know, have any more questions, or want to check out any more music or your information, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to get me is I'm Saga Warrior on Instagram. That's SagaWarrior, Saga Warrior. Or you can get me on Facebook. I'm Sheldon Holder. On Facebook, I'm the first Sheldon Holder on Facebook. I'm easy to find.
Okay.
I'm also, you can also email me at sheldonholdermusic@gmail.com.
Okay, that sounds great, Sheldon. My guest has been Sheldon Holder, and you've been listening to Hello World with Mike Kara. And please catch us again next time. Okay,
there. Peace and love, everybody.
That. Okay, stop video here. Okay, stop, but not stop video, stop recording.